Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode number 126 with Ben Baker. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Ben Baker, we explore a number of interesting topics like branding 101, how he would create a personal branding class for students, a bunch of great ideas in terms of running contests that schools can do to generate engagement and build their brand. And we also brainstorm a contest where you, the listener, can win one free month in a mastermind or a 30-minute one-on-one coaching call with yours truly. Thanks for spending some time with me and listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the content, I'd like to take a little time to thank our show sponsors. I'd like to share an amazing free resource for all listeners of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. It's the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2017. And that's available at schoolzonepodcast.com. And just like the title says, you get the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com. Well, hey there, Better Leaders. I am joined today with somebody I met through a marketing seminar by Seth Godin. And you are so lucky. I am so lucky to have this conversation with Ben Baker today, because as school leaders, we need to brand and market our schools effectively. And guess what? We don't have a freaking clue how to do that. So let me introduce our guest today. Ben Baker has always been passionate about storytelling. Whether it was in sales in his early career or over the last 20 years as a marketer, Ben's goal has always been to tell a story that's relevant, valuable, and engages his audience. It's about letting people understand the values and vision of the companies that he works with. If people, whether they be staff, customers, or potential customers, do not understand who you are, what you do, and why you do it, why should they care? Ben's job is to create the conversation that allows them to care. Ben has been the owner and chief storyteller at Your Brand Marketing for the last decade and can be found at www.yourbrandmarketing.com. And Ben, thank you for joining me on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Danny. Real pleasure to be here.
So I've been excited. You have no idea. I've been so excited for this show for a very, very long time. And like I said in the short introduction, we don't have a clue what to do as school leaders in terms of branding. At least this is my humble opinion, right? But listeners, I've seen your websites. You don't have a clue. And in terms of telling our stories, right, developing that brand and marketing the wonderful things that all our schools are doing. And so you're here, you're the expert. Can you give us some insight? Where do we even start with figuring out how our school exists as a brand?
Well, and that's a great question, Danny. I mean, because every school and every brand is unique. I teach that, you know what, figure out who you are and what you're about. And yes, you may be part of a school district. You may be part of a huge school system. But you know what? Every school is a unique microcosm. The students are different, the staff, the administration. Everybody is unique within that, and you as a school tell a story, because you have different programs, you have different students, you have different, you know, specialities. And it's being passionate about what you do, why you do it, and who you do it for that makes a story special. It's about making it so the kids that come to school are proud to be part of that school, and they turn around and say, hey, I go to school X, and you know what? This is what we're all about. This is our vision. This is what we believe in. And the teachers really are excited about it. And because the teachers are excited about it, and because the principal's all excited about it, we as students are excited about it. People know when you're dialing it in. You know, when you're dialing it in, yeah, okay, our vision, our value is blah, 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 blah. You know what? If you can sit there and actually live your visions and your values and actually believe in them and actually live them on a daily basis, people pay attention. And that's your brand. Your brand isn't the logo of your school or the name of your school. It's what you feel and what you believe. It's the story you tell, who you tell it to, and understanding why they care about you. That's what they should be looking at.
So I like that. I think you just said that the brand is what you feel and what you believe. Is that correct?
That's right. It's what your brand is, the three-legged, you know, stool that you sit on. You sit on this three-legged stool, and those three posts are the things that you really believe in. If somebody knocks off one of those legs, you fall over. You know, so if you don't believe in your brand, if you don't believe, if you're not passionate about your brand, why should anybody else be?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you got to be passionate. This has to be something that keeps you up at night and gets you out of bed early in the morning because you're so fired up about that vision of where your school is going. When we think about, you know, what we feel and what we believe, are there some, you know, obviously we ask those questions, but are there some exercises or questions that you, you know, work with clients and have them explore so that they can really dig into that? There's so many layers there and it goes incredibly deep. But how do you even start cracking away at that brand identity?
The number one question I tell people that they're going to hate me for at the end of the day is why. We do this because of such and such. Well, why? Well, because of such and such. Well, why? And you keep digging and digging and digging and digging. You know, we have a football team. Well, why do you have a football team? Because we think it's important to build leadership and to build teamwork and to build, you know, a unique, you know, set of things that the students can get excited about. Well, why? Well, then you keep going down and drilling down into what are the things that are truly important to the school? What, you know, what are the common goals of all the students, whether they play football, whether they're in the art department, whether they play in the band, or whether they're, you know, the math geeks and the computer heads. You know what? They all believe in certain things when it comes to being part of that school. And they all have a common identity when they graduate that, hey, listen, I just spent the last 2 years, 3 years, 5 years at this school. These are the things that I learned. And it wasn't the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s. It's, you know, how to be a better person, you know, how to get along well with others, how to think outside the box, how to interact with people. And that's what schools, you know, got to work on. It's, you know, and how to teach those soft skills to be able to move people forward. And that's the branding that they need to work on.
You mentioned too that stories are important to, you know, a brand's identity. What makes a great story?
What makes a great story is that it's real and it's identifiable and it's retellable. As soon as people start retelling your story, you know you've got it right. You know, if I tell you a story and 10 minutes later you can't tell it back to me, I probably haven't told it very well because it didn't engage, it didn't resonate, and the person who heard it didn't find it valuable. But if you tell a story that people engage with, that resonates with them, and they can identify it with, then they'll tell it to somebody else, and that person will engage as well, and then so on and so on and so on. That's what makes a great story.
Is that, would you call that also that this idea I've heard before, this idea of stickiness?
Absolutely. Has everything to do with stickiness. Stickiness is that whole concept of, you know, does it relate to me? Does it resonate with me? What most people don't understand with their branding is it has to do as much about the person that you're telling the story to and how they view your brand than the story that you tell of the brand. If you tell a great story, but nobody cares, you're telling the wrong story.
I don't know about you, but I had enough on my plate just thinking about how to operate a building and how to develop my people. That was enough. And that doesn't even include parents. That doesn't even include student issues. And it definitely doesn't include where am I going to find the funding to run all the great programs my students deserve. Well, the great news is I have an amazing free resource for you, the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2017. That's available at schoolzonepodcast.com. In this guide, you will be exposed to the best fundraising ideas for schools in 2017. And my favorite company that's described in the guide is School Spirit Vending. The reason School Spirit Vending rises above the rest is because they make fundraising so incredibly hassle-free. What if a company would come in, install vending machines with customized stickers? That's right, stickers that had your logo, that had your mascot, that had whatever you and your students wanted installed. They come in, they take care of the machines. You do no work besides having the machines installed in the school, and you get a cut of the profit. That's where you're going to find money to actually run these programs. So check out the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com and definitely give School Spirit Vending a call. Tell them Danny Sunshine sent you. And where does that resonation come from? I mean, is it like just really, you know, knowing where your audience is at, what their dreams are, what their fears are, what their desires, you know? How do you make sure you build that story so that it resonates with the audience, with your community? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's important. You know, it's understanding who your audience is. In your case, it's, you know, it's not just the students, it's the staff. You know, it has to do with the administration. It has to do with the school board. It has to do with the parents. You know, these are all people that you're telling the brand story to. And it's not just resonating with one audience, it's resonating with a bunch of audiences. And so it's coming up with a story that, you know, that builds on the excitement of who you are, what you do, and why you do it. And having that story, being able to resonate with different people in different ways. That's why there's different types of social media. That's why there's different types of communication. You know, certain people want to hear, you know, tweets. I mean, my kid's school is all about Twitter. It's, you know, I get tweets 3 times a day for my kid's school. It's sometimes it's too much and sometimes it's too little, depending on what, you know, what's going on. But at least they're communicating with me in a way that I've decided that I want to listen to them because it's relevant. You know, I'm on Twitter all day long. You know, for me to pick up my phone, oh, okay, that's what's going on in the school. Great. You know, other people, it's Facebook. Other people, it may be Instagram. You know, so it's a matter of being able to reach the, you know, giving the audience multiple channels where they can grab the message and grab the story in a way that's relevant to them and be able to consume it the way that they want to. You don't have to be everywhere, but if you can offer 2 or 3 different choices of how people get that story, you're going to be able to grab a far larger audience.
Yeah, and 2 to 3 seems very doable, right? That's reasonable. So if I tell my story on Twitter, on Instagram, and through maybe a Facebook group or page related to my school, I can do that as a school leader or have a little team that manages it, incorporate the students into it as well, and tell that story in a number of places.
Absolutely. And it doesn't have to be, you know, 3 tweets a day. You know, the Instagram stories could be, here's what happened this week. You know, here's the week in review. You know, and look at stuff like that. It doesn't have to be that. And it, you know, and you have the newsletter that's the highlights. And this is just, can just augment the information. It's giving people the opportunity to know what's going on and why they should continue to care. Because out of sight is out of mind very quickly.
Yeah, I was taking notes on that, just jotting it down. This is like a masterclass with branding and marketing, but I like that idea of, do you give people the opportunity to care, right? To understand, to know what's going on. And that to me also means, are you sharing, again, that relevant information and in a timely way? Because the opportunity is there, but if you're not consistent, if you're not consistently putting out valuable content to your community, whether that's parents, staff, or students, or a combination of all three, they're going to forget that you even exist, I guess.
Yeah. And it's a matter of realizing that you can't just throw it out there. You have to have somebody that's engaging with it. You know, if somebody's going to comment on your Facebook post, or somebody's going to comment on your Instagram page, or somebody's going to retweet your tweet, you need to have somebody out there to sit there and say, you know, thanks for retweeting, or that was a really interesting comment. Actually, here's what we were doing, and this is why we did that, or whatever. You know, and yes, in the education system, it is off the side of your desk. Don't kid yourself. But mm-hmm. in today's world, that's instantaneous, and a world where, you know, misconception can happen very quickly. The more you can keep the trust and the allies of the people within your community, the more, if there's anything that goes wrong, you know, you've got a big set of allies that are in a tribe that's going to sit there and rally behind you.
That's interesting too. So it's almost by promoting your story through these different channels and being somewhat active on them, you build trust actually with the community, so that when times do get tough, they can rally behind you because you've built those relationships.
Yeah. And that's what brand is all about. It's about trust, you know, and especially for the schools, you know, you guys are taking care of parents' biggest assets. You know, you're taking care of our biggest assets,
right.
Our children.
Right.
You know, you're teaching them in a way that we can't, you know, because we can't be there six, seven, 8 hours a day to teach them the things that you can teach them. You know, it's up to us as well as parents to be actively involved and to find out what our students, you know, our kids are doing and to be able to help them at night and on the weekends. But we're trusting you with our kids to help make them better, you know, young adults. And that's, you know, that's got to be a two-way partnership. And that's trust. That's huge amount of trust.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, if you got the parents on your side, it's a lot easier to rally those parents if something goes wrong or, you know, times get tough or, you know, you got school board cuts or whatever, to be able to sit there and say, guys, we need your help. We need, you know, we need the help of the parents. We need the help of the community to be able to do this. And, you know, you've built that trust because you've been telling them what you've been doing along the whole way.
So one thing that was interesting you talked about was this idea of engagement. And recently I worked with a local CrossFit. You know, I dabble in social media and, you know, building your brand, that type of thing. And so I looked at their account and just saw some, you know, real easy fixes, right? And I said, hey, can we barter here and I'll get some free sessions for a little plan that you can execute on. Well, mm-hmm. we agreed on that. And so I think the lowest hanging fruit was that they were actually able to build a pretty big followership, and people would like and comment on their posts. And Ben, like what you just said there, they didn't keep the conversation going once. So not once did they say, Ben, thanks for that comment, or that's an interesting question. You know, here's what I think. And that's a part of it is I hear you saying, nurture those relationships by engaging in the comments and asking questions or whatever that you put out there in your school's content that you put out. But for the novice school leader that's trying to create great content initially, how do you even get that first comment or question? How do you drive engagement in the beginning before you even start nurturing it?
Yeah, and a lot of it has to be the way you write your, you know, you write your articles. You know, I always pose questions in the articles that I write, in the content that I create, and, you know, almost, you know, if not dare people to, you know, to comment them, or at least give them opportunity to comment. You know, and people will comment if they know they're being listened to. You know, people will comment once, and if all of a sudden it goes into ether, they'll never comment again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, and it's just a matter of understanding that. I mean, one great way for engagement is to run contests with the kids. You know, have them do Instagram, have them run Instagram contests, have them run a YouTube contest, have them run, you know, a whole bunch of different contests that talk about what do you think that your school is all about, and create a video and have people online judge those videos. You know, so you create a YouTube channel for your school. The students can upload the videos, but don't make them, you know, public until, you know, till they're judged or until, you know, they've at least been, you know, audited by administration. And once they go up there, then they go onto a page where people can judge them and be able to decide who are the top videos. You know, because it's all about releasing the creative energy of the students. If you give them reason to get involved, they will.
Well, I'm trying to understand it. I want to make sure I get this and that the listeners get it. So we're on Instagram and doing videos, the stories feature. You can do that on Facebook. You got Facebook videos, you got YouTube videos. And you're suggesting, hey, students, you know, tell our school's story, you know, what makes us unique or special, or have some type of engaging question for them to answer through video. Yep. And then from there, you're going to post, after you've audited, you're going to post those different videos for the public and your community to vote on.
Right.
And the kids would win some type of prize. But what we're really trying to do, though, is drive engagement, drive ownership of the school, pride in the school, and all of that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So that's a great way to drive pride in the school, is to have the kids involved and engaged in creating the content. Because what they're going to do is they're going to sit there and say, okay, what do I think is the great thing at the school? Who's your favorite, you know, contest, you know, who's your favorite teacher? Quick poll on a Tuesday afternoon. You know, just little things like that. And they've got to do a video feed of why they think this is their favorite teacher. And you look at those type of things and you go, okay, fine. You know, and what it does is it creates some type of a friendly competition amongst the staff. Well, why did you get the top teacher this month? Okay, wait a second. What can I do to up my game? It builds those type of relationships between the students and the administration and the staff. So it's looking at different ways that you can use social media to not only engage the external audience, but also the internal audience as well.
This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, podcasts for educators and podcasts by educators. Listen to all the great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. So I'm almost thinking, we're just improvising right here. And I want school leaders to listen and take what we're going to do and apply it to their school. And it's based on what you just said, Ben. But so, you know, I create content, right, with Better Leaders, Better Schools. A lot of podcasts. Yep. And the show's starting to really blow up. It's like it's tickling me. I keep telling Miriam, by the time this gets released, she's my wife, but like, I can't believe, right, that it's getting downloaded at the rate it is. And it's just so fun for me. And I do these school leader masterminds where I coach people. So I'm wondering, Ben, if I do this as a contest, what if I ask listeners of the podcast to make a video? And this is where I need you to chime in, Ben. How long should this video be? And what I want them to answer is, what's been your favorite episode so far and why? So answer that in a video. And Ben, how long should this video be?
About a minute or less.
About a minute or less. And Ben, should they just like email that to me, Daniel@betterleadersbetterschools.com. I'll grab the videos, curate them, and then post them in a public place. We'll vote on it. And then whoever gets the most votes, they can potentially earn either 1 month free in a mastermind, or we'll do some type of like coaching calls, whatever that they want.
Absolutely. Cause you know what? That's a great way to engage your audience. You know, it's the more you can involve your audience, the more you can get them to sit there and tell you what they think and why they think what they think, the better off it is. You know, the good thing about a 1 minute video is that it's enough time to tell a quick story,
yep.
But you don't have to tell, it's not telling a long story.
Right.
You know, it's enough to get, I like this because of that. You know, is why it resonated with me. And people could send them in as podcasts. They could send, you know, they can, if they don't want to be on video, they could send them in as podcasts. If they want to go do it as a Facebook Live video, they can do it as a Facebook Live video. Hey, there's a lot of different ways that they can have fun with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of sitting there going in the end saying, okay, what's the most creative way of doing it? And that's what it's all about. It's unleashing people's creativity, because that's what makes us unique, is our ability to be creative.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what differentiates a brand from another. It's the ones that actually sit there and tell something that's creative, something that's unique, something that's different, something that makes people go, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. Cool. So should I do it based on the podcast? Because I want to clarify this for the listeners, like an aha moment, their favorite podcast episode and why. Or should it be something more that serves the audience in the sense like, you know, your absolute number one ninja hack of school leadership? What do you think would be better?
I like number two.
Number two.
I like number two better because you know what? What that's going to do is that's going to give a whole bunch of information that are just creative hacks that everybody else can use. That's creating something of amazing value.
Okay. Okay, cool.
And I think your audience would love that. I think that that is the best way to do it. I think that that is going to be something that they're going to be all over.
This is cool. We don't have video right now. We're only on audio, but if you can see my face, I've got the biggest smile in the world. So, cool. All right, to make this real clear for the listeners, this is the contest. Make a 1 minute video or less. So you have just enough time to tell a great story. And I want you to share a tip that helps you be the best type of school leader that you could be. So some kind of hack, something that helps you be just incredibly successful. And so share that. Make sure if it's on social media, tag me, email me, Daniel@betterleadersbetterschools.com. And so if this is Instagram, Facebook Live, YouTube, or whatever, I'm going to grab all these videos and actually create a gigantic blog post with all these amazing tips. And so this will be a resource that lives on. It'll be evergreen for all the listeners, all the folks that visit the blog. And it's going to produce tremendous value. And then that winner is going to get, they can choose either 1 month of a mastermind for free. And this goes for current members too, or a free 30-minute coaching call, because that value is similar. So that's awesome. Ben, thanks for this idea. Like I'm freaking out about it for sure.
So what do you want to do? Do you want to give them like 4 weeks? Give them the 4 weeks. So say at the end of January, beginning of February, that they can do it. You want to give them a specific date.
Yeah.
You want to give them and say all these videos have to be in by such and such date.
Yeah.
And then I will curate it, say, 15 days later or something
sure,
like that.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah. This is released in January 3rd. So I think by the end of the month is definitely plenty of time, wouldn't you say?
I think so. I think that, people that are going to get excited about this are going to go ahead and do it right away.
Right.
And get that stuff in. So, Daniel, make sure you give them the email address one more time and build a subject line. Subject line, say your best hack for Daniel. Call the subject line your best hack for Daniel.
Yeah. And that's Daniel@betterleadersbetterschools.com.
There you go. So that way, when you know they come in, you can search through them real quickly.
Yeah, this is awesome. So you have to email me the URL of the video, guys, just so that I'm able to curate, pull it, and put it, because I'm trying to build a blog post of tremendous value. And then we'll pick that winner. Ben, last question, and then we'll get back to what you do.
Sure.
But this has been so much fun. So should that be something that I just vote, because, as a creator, Better Leaders, Better Schools, or is this something that somehow I make it a poll and people vote for like 72 hours or something?
I would make it a 72-hour poll. Like, hey, if you're going out to your listeners to be able to have them curate information, mm-hmm. go for a poll. Mm-hmm. Why not? My thing is that go for it. And the more people you can bring in, the more people that you can get involved in this, the better it is.
Yeah. All right. I like that. So we'll do that. And I think maybe the easiest way is I'll number each video in the blog post and then people can comment with their vote. So if there's 20 videos, they just write down, hey, I like number 17 the best. I'll read through all the comments, tally them up, and then that person will win.
I like it.
I like it. I'm so excited. Like, I want to get started now. It's only July and this is released in January. I'm going to have to wait for months. This is terrible. But thanks
Shh, for don't tell anybody that we pre-record. Shh.
No, I won't. They know, though. They know. And thanks for brainstorming with me, Ben. This has been incredible.
Hey, that's half the fun.
So outside of that, let's say you're a principal and, you've seen your kids' school experience and, you've seen my show, my site, that kind of thing, and, other schools' websites. What are some other things that school leaders can do in branding, storytelling? We talked about these contests. Just any other ideas that you have to offer the listeners right now?
Well, the one thing that I would tell people is if you're going to have a website, keep it fresh. Have a video of the week or video of the month up on that thing that you could upload really quickly. And, you know, it might be a conversation from the principal. It might be, an activity that happened during that month or during that week or whatever. Just something new, because there's so many websites out there, and not just school webs, talking about websites in general, where people build a website, forget about it. That's it. You know, as long as you keep your website current, as long as you keep it active and you're constantly showing what's new and interesting on the website, people will come back. You know, when all it is a static phone number, you know, and an address book for how to find you, nobody cares. They'll go there once and they'll never come back. So the more information that you can put on there that's dynamic, that this is what's going on new, maybe a blog post involved in it, maybe a video, maybe, what's happening at the school that month, you know, parent-teacher interview, when the parent-teacher interviews are, you know, what happened with the PAC, all those type of things, you know, PAC notes, et cetera, having all that information online so people can grab it when they want it is huge. You know, use it as a resource. Tell people what's going on at the school. Tell people what's happening, what's coming up. You know, so that way there's no excuses. You know, and what you can do is if you're doing something new on the website, send a tweet out about it. So that way people can sit there and go, oh, I should look at the website. Okay, I saw, you know, I got something on Twitter. Maybe I should go look at the website and see what's new. You know, so it's those type of things that make it better. The more dynamic it can be, the more easier it can be. And, you know, I mean, and yes, there are challenges in certain school districts. You don't control your website. The central district does. That runs into some challenges. And that's something I would fight against. I would absolutely fight against the fact that these things are centralized, because that means that nothing gets done with those websites and they become useless and they're a waste of money. And that's, you know, and that would be the argument that I would use if the school district says, well, you can send stuff to us and we'll upload it. Well, if it's not done in an immediate time frame, it's not useful.
Yeah, not useful at all. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you need to make sure the information is useful, it's timely, and it's relevant.
So what would you say, because I do have superintendents that listen to the show as well, and then the principals that might be in a district like that. I'm coming from a district that every school's website, like, basically looked the same. Some of the content was different. We did have some autonomy on it, but there wasn't any really branching out. And I think the rationale is that, one, they want to control, you know, what message is being shared, right? And right. It has to go through some communication team and all this, the levels of bureaucracy. But the second thing, I think they want a similar look, that it all has to. So, you know, what would you say to that, to the superintendents that are listening and might, you know, they need a challenge?
I think that there has to be a happy medium between information that has to be static and has to be district-wide, and the ability for a school to be unique in its own skin. So I get the fact that a lot of these websites need to be standardized. It makes it more cost effective. They're all the same. They're all using the same back end system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That way, you know, if something goes down, anybody can go into the administration and be able to fix it. That's important. What I do think is that there should be certain pages along the website where the school itself can control. So there's certain pages that are controlled by the district and certain pages that are controlled by the school. And, you know, it allows the schools to have some autonomy and let the schools have some uniqueness and some personal brand while still maintaining the overall brand of the district. So it's finding a happy medium, because there is, you know, there are legal concerns that are across the district. There are, you know, safety concerns that are across the district. You know, you'd want, if there's an Amber Alert, you know, you'd want every single website to be able to have that Amber Alert on their homepage, mm-hmm. immediately at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, just, I'm thinking of things like that, and having them all centralized allows for that to happen. But, you know, there should also be the ability for the school to be able to have certain pages and certain sections that they have control in updating. Their own internal calendar of events, their internal social pages, their internal communication pages for internal use. Those are all important that the schools have access to, because that way they can be more dynamic. they can be more relevant to the staff and to the students and to their parents. And it makes it better for everybody. And people will use it as a tool instead of ignoring it.
Conferences, piles of flyers, getting stuck in endless email lists and never-ending calls. There's an easier way to sort through and identify the best school fundraisers. School Spirit Vending proudly presents the top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017. It's a guide of the top fundraising companies hand-picked from the best podcast. As an added bonus, this guide lists 5 resource companies that would add tremendous value to your community, school, and students. The best part is that School Spirit Vending is giving the guide away completely free. Are you ready to simplify the search? Download the free guide at schoolzonepodcast.com. Ben, can you share with the listeners the story of starting Your Brand Marketing?
Sure. Your Brand Marketing started 10 years ago. Before that, I had a partner. I was still in the marketing business. I've been in the marketing business for just under 20 years now. I had a partner. I had 30 staff. I had 5,000 square feet of warehouse. I had all the headaches and hassles and wonderful things about having a staff. And my partner and I had probably 10 good years together. He was looking to retire. He owned the majority of the company. We had different views, and I decided instead of buying the company from him, it was in my best interest to go out on my own. That way I could create my own separate brand, my own identity, and my own vision. And quite honestly, for me, I didn't need all the staff. My vision is more of a consulting vision. My story is more the fact that I want to work with my clients consulting, teaching, and speaking on brand, message, market, vision, and value. You know, we do a lot with personal branding for executives, teaching them how to be better at, you know, understanding themselves and how to communicate that in a relevant way. But what we do is we take a look at what do people do, why do they do it, how do they do it, who do they do it for, and why should people care? And with that, Your Brand Marketing what evolved in the fact that it's about your brand. It's about you. It's about how you feel, about the people that are relevant to you. And by focusing the name and the thought of the company on my clients, it became the fact that every single client is unique. Every single client has a different story to tell. Every single client has a different situation. And focusing on them as individuals and companies and not just another person that I can put into box A, B, and C, it allowed me to dig deeper and have better results for our clients.
I love that too, because, you know, really focusing on the client, right, and who you are serving, so, so important there. And even in your role at Your Brand Marketing or my role as a school principal, the temptation is to move the person along, you know, because the work is just so much, so demanding, and to really sit there and take time to listen and understand the other person, it seems like almost a threat to what you're trying to accomplish, but it's important because that relationship you build and what you communicate just by spending time and by listening and understanding what that other person needs is worth it so much more in the long run.
Well, we come back to trust.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it comes back to trust. If people don't trust me, I tell them, don't work with me. If you don't like me as a human being, if you can't shake my hand and look me in the eye and realize that we're going to be together for the next 2, 3, 5, 10 years and work on various projects together and you'll have good times and bad times and, you know, and we're going to fight and we're going to make up and we're going to make things better, then don't work with me, because I'm all about building long-term relationships with my clients. And, you know, it's work. It's like a marriage. You know, it takes time, it takes effort, and it takes nurturing. And if I don't understand why my clients are feeling the way they are, why they're scared to move forward, why they're not doing the things that I want them to do, then they're never going to do it. You know, if I don't understand what the underlying fears, desires, wants, needs, et cetera, are, you're never going to get them to a place where they're going to be able to, you know, communicate their value efficiently moving forward.
Ben, what do you think would be one class we should add to our schools that's not currently taught that you know of?
Personal branding for students.
What would that class look like?
That class would really look at looking for students to understand their own personal wealth and their own personal vision and value. It's taking them beyond the here and now and teaching them about the long game. It's teaching them how to communicate effectively. It's teaching them how to network. It's teaching them how to communicate in a job interview. It's teaching them how to relate to people that they don't like. It's teaching them how to understand that other people are different than they are, but those people have just as much right to their ideas as you do. And the more you can be comfortable in your own skin, the more you can be comfortable with the things that you agree with and you disagree with and what you believe and what you don't believe, the more comfortable you are to be able to understand other people's beliefs and listen to them and be able to look at it as non-threatening. It's just a different point of view.
What's the worst leadership advice you've been given or have heard being given?
The best leadership advice I've ever heard is trust me. With no substantiation behind it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just trust me, you know, and people not willing to take the time to realize that there's a reason why they're not trusting you. And I think that that's probably that there's leaders and there's managers. And quite honestly, there's far more managers than there are leaders. Doesn't matter what your business card says. A leader is someone that is showing other people how to be better and is protecting the people underneath them to give them the space to realize their own potential and bring the water up for everybody and to move everybody forward as a group and share the vision and the values so that everybody gets better. A manager is just trying to get a task done, you know, and there's so many people out there that have been given the title of leaders who are managers. You know, they're ticking boxes and they're you know, doing whatever that needs to be done just to make sure that things move from A to B to C to D to E. You know, that's a manager. That's, you know, it's managing staff. A leader is someone who provides the vision. And, you know, that's when people call themselves leaders and they are not able to call, you know, to provide a reason why people understand their vision and follow their vision, they're really a manager.
Yeah, that's a good challenge, listeners, you know, that Ben was just talking about. Are you a leader or a manager? And I hope as a listener to this podcast, you are a leader or at least developing into one. But it's about inspiration. It's about taking care of your people, taking care of your community, understanding who they are and how to serve them. And then it's all about your students. It's not about checking boxes and making sure you respond to all your emails. It is so, so much more. So are you a leader or are you a manager? Well, Ben, we're entering into the quick fire round. So have fire away, four quick questions and then a big one for you at the end.
Well, let's see what we can do.
What's one book every principal should read right now and why?
One book that everybody should read. You know what? Just because I just read it. Seth Godin's Purple Cow. It's all about how to differentiate yourself and how to be unique. It's a fun read, probably somewhere around a couple hundred pages, and it is looking at the world differently. It's showing you how to differentiate yourself and how to be unique in a cookie cutter world.
What do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? I'm a golfer. I love playing golf. It is something that I never get enough of. And quite honestly, I never have enough time to do it enough. For me, it's not the score. It's how does it change me mentally from game to game? Because I look at it as a big game of chess, you know, all right, I've made a mistake. How do I get out of it? You know, and it's all about understanding that, you know what, we're all going to make mistakes in life and how do we fix it? You know, and I find that golf really humbles me in the fact that doesn't matter how good I get at the game, the course is always better. And I really enjoy that.
and you're probably always going to be better than me. I am a terrible golfer. Ben, if you could be automatically good at something, what would it be?
Being patient. I think patience is something that we all can get better at. You know, if I was given the patience button, where all of a sudden, you know, I get a shot in the arm and I'm always patient and I'm always, you know, level-headed and willing to listen to every single comment and be able to take it at face value, that would be a great thing to have. But you know what? We're being human beings. Sometimes we have to close our eyes and count to 10.
And if you could put a message on all school marquees across the globe for just one day, what would that message read?
Be yourself. Don't be somebody else that's already taken. Be yourself. Don't be somebody else that's already taken.
And that goes back to even just, I mean, everything we've talked about, really. But I'm thinking about the students, you know, the students' personal branding class. But yeah, having that identity, be yourself. And there's a challenge, you know, as a young teacher, there were a couple other teachers I looked up to. So I tried to be like them. But when I acted like they did, instead of who I was made to be, it came across as inauthentic. And the kids saw it and it wasn't effective.
Yeah.
And it's when I gave myself permission to teach how I was created to teach that I actually had an impact in my class.
And I teach that in my personal branding courses, is the fact that, you know what, find the five people that you truly and absolutely emulate. Figure out what you really like about those people, because you're not going to like everything about them. You're going to like certain things about them. And then the question is why? And then incorporate that into your own personal style, because you're never going to be exactly like them. But if you take the top three traits, the top five people that you emulate, and you ask yourself why you like these things and figure out how those things, you know, integrate with your own personal set of beliefs, you're gonna have a pretty good clue about who you are and what you're about.
Well, you made it, Ben. This is the last question of the podcast. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget or resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school, and what would be your top three priorities?
My top three priorities. Let's take a look at those first. My top three priorities would be open communication. It would be about taking a look at the school system and sit there going, how do we help build a system that is far more creative? How do we teach students to learn instead of learning things? How do we get them to extrapolate? How do we get them to think beyond the facts and figures and work to a place where they're actually thinking about, I don't understand A, but I understand B and C. If I take what I currently know and apply B and C, can I figure out A? And I'd also want to have teach people how to speak. You know, and how to think critically and how to be able to articulate. And I think that those would be the top things that I would work on within a school, you know, is to build a place where people can be creative and they can learn how to think and for themselves. And they can also learn how to articulate, you know, because I think that those are the skills that are going to get any student further in life. You know, because there's going to be a million doctors out there. There's going to be a million accountants. There's going to be a million firemen. But it's the ones that can sit there and say, you know what, let me explain it to you in a language that you understand. Let me make this relevant to you. And here's how I can do this. Those are the kids that are going to be the successful ones. And that's what I would want from a school. And I would build the school in such a way that it was interdisciplinary, that, you know, that drama and music and language skills were built into everything that these kids did, so that there was the high tech level of creativity that they didn't just learn in a classroom. They were able to go outside and learn, that they were able to go on field trips and learn, and they were able to take what they were learning in science and be able to apply it to what's going on in the real world. That's what I would want in a school.
Love it. Well, Ben, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of me is through my website. It's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. yourbrandmarketing.com. That's yourbrandmarketing.com. And we're out here on the West Coast. We're actually up in Canada, but you know, my clients are everywhere. The one piece, the thing that I would talk about me, you know, is the fact that I just want people to understand that it's all about effective communication. That's what life is all about. That's what marketing is all about. That's what being human beings is all about. It's being able to listen effectively. It's being able to understand and interpolate and also to communicate effectively. And if we can all do that, we're all going to be better.
Better leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Ben. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Ben in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up. You'll get highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Ben, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you very much. I had a great time.
Better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show. And feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across? Links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well. If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.